Hi, beautiful people, beautiful souls, guest, and welcome back to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I'm your host, Vanessa, and today I have an episode that I've been honestly afraid to do, wanted to do for so long. I wanted to wait until I felt healed enough to share this story. And I think we're here. I think so much has happened, so much good stuff in life. Everything is good. Everything is good. Everything that happens is good. But so much has happened. And I think everybody's been waiting for this one. So let's get into it. If you're new here, welcome to the podcast of growth, rebuilding, the podcast for women who are tired of feeling like they're not enough, or feeling like they're too much, feeling like they're too far gone. And I'm here to tell you that is not true. That's not the case at all. You are perfect the way you are. You were perfectly made. And I know it sounds really cheesy because they say God doesn't make mistakes, but he really doesn't. He's God. Duh. Everything that you have right now is everything you deserve so far. If you want more, you need to do more. If you think you don't deserve something, and sometimes it's not that you don't deserve it, it's that it's there to make you grow, challenge you, make you better. When you look at it that way, you can learn the lesson faster and be able to, move on to the next one. There's always life's full of lessons. But this episode I wanted to share with you guys. It's one that I've been honestly afraid to do, but I know it's one that people have been waiting for. And I wanted to do it from a place of love. I wanted to do it from a place where I felt healed enough to tell my story or my side. And so let's get into my divorce. My ex and I were together for about 10 years. And once again, I always thought it was an amazing relationship. This is my point of view. I thought it was great. Every couple fights, every couple has their ups and downs, every couple has their challenges as they get to know each other and as they get to grow together. And we were not the exception. However, we always found a way to make it better, to grow together, and to keep it going. Because, 10 years. You can't be unhappy for 10 years and stay, and it just doesn't make sense. You're not in a relationship for 10 years and then you say you were unhappy. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were. But either way, we decided to have a child together. And it was one of the best decisions of my life. I don't regret one bit of it. But it did cost us our relationship in the sense. I feel like once I got pregnant, everything changed. I changed. The relationship changed. The dynamic changed. And I don't think it was a change. It was something we were both ready for. So during my pregnancy, I felt very alone. I was very alone. She worked long hours, which I understood and I knew since day one that that was going to be the case. However, I did think it was going to be more of an effort to want to be there too. I even waited. I remember when she got a promotion, I even said, "Hey, let's wait till the end of the year so that you can get acclimated with your promotion and managing the store, so that when I do get pregnant, we have a little more time. We have a little more time to be home and here, just in case I need anything." I originally was pregnant with twins, and IVF was not fun. The shots made me sick. So much progesterone in my body gave me migraines. I suffered from horrible migraines, like day-long migraines, 3 days long. Made me nauseous, like not the pregnancy, like the first 2, 3 days. I wasn't nauseous from the pregnancy. I was nauseous from the migraines, not eating and all that stuff. It was so bad. And I would remember logging into work, and I would log into work from home, and I would have my glasses on, like from the light, because the light hurt my migraines, and I was just thinking about it is making me nauseous. So yeah, that was the first 4 months of my pregnancy was like that. I remember laying in bed and calling my aunt, which I love her so much, and I thank her for her kind words. She called to check on me, and I was crying in bed, or my ex wasn't home. And I remember telling my tia, like, I think I'm done. I think I need to get this baby out of me, like, or these babies out of me. At the time, I still had twins. I do remember telling my aunt, I quit, I give up. I can't do it. There's no way I can go on like this. 3-day long migraines. The pain was excruciating. I couldn't take anything for it. Not even Tylenol I would take. That, and then alone in a room by myself at home in the dark. I used to call my ex to work and cry on the phone and just be like, just hear me, like, just talk to me. Just tell me something so I don't feel so lonely. And I remember when I was like 4.5 months, I woke up one day and I was like, like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh my God, I don't feel nauseous. I don't have a headache. I feel great. I started to feel like myself again. I was so happy that I was at the stage of the pregnancy where it's like, okay, it's like a second wind. Finally, when that happened, I was able to get up and actually get ready and do my hair and makeup and go to the office. It was so much fun going to the office. I love my job. I love Capital One. I love working there. I love the people I work with. I loved every single one. I had a really great coworker who would always bring me a pastry in the mornings, and I gained so much weight, but I loved it. Everybody was just so kind, and I just felt cute for the first time in a long time. I felt cute pregnant, and I was so happy with the pregnancy by then. By then, it was only one. It was just Julian, my baby. His sister decided not to share a birthday. Her heart stopped beating around 15 weeks, and so that was challenging, and I felt so guilty because I was... I went to Coachella and I went to Vegas and I drove back and I did all these things that I thought were fine. And I somehow feel like that probably had something to do with it, even though they say no, that it was nothing to do with that. There was just, she just stopped growing. Julian needed more energy, I believe, than her. So that was a little bit of a heartbreak in the whole mix. But I was glad that Julian was okay and he was intact and they both had their own sac. So nothing happened. He was intact. And so that was a blessing. We still had our baby. And as I was pregnant, I was a DD a lot of the times. I tried to be as understanding as possible, in the sense that just because I can't drink doesn't mean she can drink. So I let her drink. I would drive. A lot of times she would say, hey, can I go get a drink with my friends? Of course, you know. But then this became a habit of hers. And it was every Tuesday, because she was off the next day, Wednesday. And it wasn't just a drink. She wouldn't come home till 2. She would get drunk, then not be able to help me the next day at all because she was hungover. Once again, I'm alone by myself. Now I'm like 4 or 5 months pregnant. And it just kept happening again and again. Till eventually I started to say, hey, like, no, how about you don't go out drinking? I'm home alone. I'm pregnant. Can you come home? And it became an issue. I was, oh, well, you don't want me to be with my friends. And it's like, you can be with your friends. But like every single time every Tuesday you wanted to go, every weekend, I'm home alone. I have 2 dogs that would sleep with me. Sometimes I wouldn't know when she would get home because I started to get like physically tired, that I would just fall asleep. I started asking her to just stop, come home. And then it became that I was nagging, and it became that I was jealous of her friends. And to a certain extent, she was probably right. I was jealous. I was jealous that she chose other people over me and her child at the time. That's what I felt like. I felt like they were choosing not to come home. And I've noticed that there are some husbands that kind of go through that too. Like, they don't want to go home because they don't know what to do or how to react. And I just didn't think that was going to be us, but it happened to us as well. I was 34 weeks pregnant by now. And they tell me that my birth canal is blocked. So I can't deliver naturally. I have to have a C-section. I would have to go in there all the time for O negative, and our sperm donor is AB, some positive or something like that. So they needed me to go in there and get shots every time because of the blood type that was different than my son's. And my blood, if I would go into labor or if anything happened, my blood would automatically try to kill the baby. And so I would always have to go in and get like special shots and checked and stuff like that. And her job was her job. And so I would do it on my own. And I still didn't mind. I still didn't care. Then I remember I was 34 weeks and I got sick. But we had already gotten into an argument because she was probably out drinking. She was, and I wanted her to come home, and we got into an argument. And during that time, she had a habit of like, I'm mad at you, so I don't talk to you for 3 days kind of thing. It was always 3 days. That was her thing. So the night before, we have an argument. I start to feel really sick. I'm at work. I think I have a cold now. I feel sick at work, and I have a headache. I go lay down in the spare bedroom because we had been fighting. She was off that day. The day before, she didn't speak to me. The next day, I was laying in bed all day. Didn't check on me. Didn't talk to me. I slept for like the entire morning. She left to get her nails done. And I kept feeling sick, and I started to feel more sick. And I started to feel like movement or like kind of like cramps. But I thought like maybe it's, you know, contractions. And I call her, and I'm waiting for her to get her nails done and come home so I could tell her like, hey, I don't feel well. Can you take me to the hospital? And then an hour goes by, 2, 3, 4 hours go by, and I'm just like, that's like I'm starting to feel even more sick. So I call her and say, hey, where are you? The first time she didn't answer. Second time she answered, she's like, oh, I came to eat with my friend. Okay, you didn't mind telling me? You haven't checked on me in 2 days, and you obviously know I'm sick. I've been waiting for you. I was livid. Livid. I blocked her that day. I blocked her number. I didn't want to hear any calls. I got in the car and I drove myself to the hospital because I was 34 weeks, and because of the pregnancy and stuff like that, they checked me in. I went to the hospital. I was by myself the entire day. I think I got to the hospital like at 4. My sister came like at night. She was working that day. She came at night to be with me because they were going to check me in. I was having some contractions, small ones, but because I was 34 weeks, they needed to call my doctor and figure out whether I was going to deliver that day or she wanted me to wait. And so they finally get a hold of my doctor. My doctor says, like, let's try to get her to wait. Keep her for a couple more hours watching, making sure the contractions don't get any bigger. Or because once again, if I go into labor, my body can hurt the baby, my blood, because of the blood type. So they hold me there. The contractions kind of slow down. They calm down. I was very dehydrated because I was sick. I hadn't eaten. So all of that together, like, you know, just made me feel, that's why I felt so sick. So never did she come looking for me. Never did she. But when they said, hey, we're going to have to wait and see whether you go into labor today or you might go into labor today or for the C-section, like we might just take you in because we don't want you going to labor at home. But we're going to talk to your doctor and wait. So I think they gave me another shot of those shots that they would give me for my blood type. And finally, like at 2 a.m, they send me home. Me and my sister go home. We go to bed in the spare bedroom again. In the morning, she's getting ready for work and was about to leave without saying hi or bye or checking on me until she saw my sister in the kitchen. She's like, oh, hi, what are you doing here? And I finally tells her like, oh, well, she was in the hospital till, you know, early morning, and they think, you know, she had contractions. And I remember that day, like something in me broke. Like when it's like a glass, like you have this idea of a person and you can't see. It's like a ceramic doll. Like to me, she was a ceramic doll. And that day, what happened, how it all played out, like it cracked. Like my idea of her cracked, and it cracked open. And then I saw a completely different human that I never really seen before. And that day, I cried. I couldn't help but cry and cry and cry. And I remember thinking, like, I don't even want her at my birth. I don't want her near me. I don't want to be around her. I just cannot stand this human being at all that chose, you know, just a friend that chose to go with a friend over her wife slash child. I was so baffled. I was so, like, shocked. I was so in disbelief that I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I had another doctor's, the next day I had to go see my primary care. So I finally told her that's what happened. I was at the hospital. I got to see, she's like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't I tell you? Why don't you care enough to ask, to check, to, anyway, that's where it all started for me. That's where I think the relationship really started dying for me. I could always take being the second choice compared to her job. That was okay with me. I met her that way. I understood it that way. I never had a problem with that. I've always said, you know, I'd rather you work and have a great life and provide a great life for us than, you know, be here all day on the couch and, you know. I understand the sacrifice that has to be made. But I was never okay with my son being second choice for anyone. So she doesn't go to work. She stays. She wants to make it up to me. Or I tell you this, in the entire pregnancy, not once did we have sex. Not once were we intimate at all, because she kept saying I couldn't because of my placenta. And the doctor did say nothing should go up there. But like, it was like no chemistry between us. That day she tries to like go down on me, and I'm just like, I felt so disgusted. I felt so gross. I felt like she was doing it just to be nice, just to like, I don't know. She was doing it out of guilt. And I felt so gross, like so, so gross that I actually felt bad for her. And so I let her, and I felt violated almost. Like, ugh, I hadn't felt that disgusted in a long time. But I thought, I'm having a baby. We have to fix this somehow. Never in my million years did I think I would ever not have my family together. So I figured, you know, we're going to have to push through it. I understand that, you know, couples have a hard time, especially after a baby or the first one or something, because it's like, so she stays, she doesn't go to work, she's taking me to the doctor. I kind of like swallow my pride, swallow my pain, and just keep pushing. I had to be in bed rest for the next 2 weeks because they wanted me to hold until 36 weeks. I was 35 weeks when that happened. 36 weeks came. I already had my scheduled C-section and everything. I don't think I went back to work anymore. And then our baby comes. And we have Julian, and he's beautiful and he's perfect. And I thought, maybe now the whole drinking and wanting to go out with your friends is going to stop. And the first 2 weeks, she was home with me. After that, she went back to work. And it didn't stop. I kept going. Tuesday would come. She would go out with her friends. Wouldn't come home till who knows when. Come home drunk. I was hungover the next day. And now I had a baby and a drunk person to take care of. And so once I get it, you know, everybody needs to blow off some steam. Everybody needs to get with their friends and stuff. But again and again and again. And I started to just get over it. Just so over it. The situation, so over the drinking, so over not having help. My son was 9 months and she had never showered him. She helped me once the first time. Then he got circumcised and then she stopped changing his diaper because she was scared that she was going to hurt him. So she stopped changing the diapers. And in that sense, I didn't really care because I'm like, dude, you're working 12-hour days. You're working 5 days a week and you're doing it for us. So it's okay. I got this. Like, I got this. And it's probably my fault. Like, I didn't need her help because I knew how to do all of it. So I didn't really ask her for any help. At night, she wouldn't wake up in the night for feedings. And I was okay with it because, once again, don't worry. I'll let you sleep. This is my way of showing you that I appreciate you. Like, you sleep throughout the night, I get up. Because guess what? When you leave, I'm going to go back to bed with the baby and it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I think she woke up maybe once or twice in the middle of the night to help me out. But other than that, that was it. And I kept pushing through. But little by little, I kept dying inside. And I was just focused on keeping my baby alive and being a good mom and learning everything I need to do. And kind of like, I zoned out. I didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't even think that what she was doing was wrong. I just kept going. My sisters were there. They helped. My mom came and helped. I felt like, okay, well, I'm fine. Like, she's working. Let her do what she's good at, and I'll do what I'm good at. And it's going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. I still planned Christmas. I still planned Thanksgiving. I still planned, you know, everything. And I loved doing all of it. I genuinely did. And I remember right before Coachella, she was going to take a week off for Coachella. We are 6 months now. And he has a 6-month checkup. And I planned it on a Wednesday because that's her day off. And before she had gone out with her friends, gotten drunk, it was dinner or something like that, I chose to stay with my son because my son wasn't feeling too well. And then the next day we have his starship appointment. And she's getting ready and it's like, oh, I remember telling her, like, the appointment's at 12. She's like, oh, okay, well, I'll see you later. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm leaving with my friends. It's my friend's birthday, and I'm leaving. I said, oh, okay. You do know your son has a doctor's appointment today. It's a 6-month checkup. He hit 6 months. You're not going to come? She's like, well, we already had plans. Me and my friends already had plans. Oh, okay. I remember looking at her and told her, I'm never going to beg you or teach you how to be a parent. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But I'm not teaching you how to be a parent. And she got offended. She was like, you don't have to teach me anything. Okay, good. I'm just letting you know. Her friend actually told her, you know, hey, you probably should go to the appointment. Meet us after. And yeah, that's exactly what she did. She came to the appointment and then she left. And my baby and I stayed home. Then Coachella is my favorite event of the year. I grew up in Coachella Valley, so I've been going to Coachella for a long time. I brought her for the first time, and she knows how much Coachella means to me. The day before Coachella, I've been planning for this event since I can finally drink and I can finally, the baby's out. He's 6 months. Ideally, I want to get there early as possible so that we can play Coachella, which is I decorate the car Thursday. And this is a Thursday that she went out with her friends. I'm decorating the car, just me and my baby, still happy, just excited to go to Coachella. Finally, like, have like a break, you know, because my baby's gonna stay with my mom, we're gonna stay with my mom, everything's gonna be great. She doesn't come home till God knows when, that Thursday night. She comes home drunk. Thank God she didn't drive, but she came home drunk. So the next day she's hungover again. I'm packing for Coachella. This girl is no help. She's laying in bed. Doesn't get up till 10. I'm like, we have to go. We have to go. We need to get ready over there. She doesn't even have her car. She was like, I'm going to go get my car. I'm like, okay, well, get up. Go. Oh, I'm just hungover. I can't. I tried so hard not to blow up in her face. So finally, I was like, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm taking my baby. I'm taking the dogs. I'm leaving. I'm leaving you. I am leaving to Coachella. If you're ready or not, I don't care. I'm leaving. So I do. I get in the car. I leave. She's not even home. because she went to go pick up her car, so she's not home. I'm like, where are you? We gotta go. It's 12 something. That means we're not gonna get to my mom's till 1 something. She's still hungover. She's not ready. I left. And then she calls me. I'm home. I'm here. And I'm, can you please come get me? Can you please come get me? Don't leave without me. I was so livid. I was like, I need gas. I need a minute. I need to get away from you. So I do. I get away. I go and that's to this. It's hot. So I go and I get gas, take a minute, breathe, come back. And I was like, get in the car. Just get in the fucking car. I remember she's in the back seat. Well, yeah, with the baby. So I drove to Coachella. My mom got there. I was like, okay, Vanessa, either just breathe, let it go, and have a try to enjoy Coachella. My mom fixed her up right away, gave her some aguachiles, gave her some headache pills, and I was like, here, mom, like, please take care of her. I can't right now. My mom's like, okay, no worries. Like, my mom loved her so much. I think she still does. Mom's a great soul. But I never told anyone these issues. I never brought it up. I never wanted my family to hate her. Even after we separated, I never wanted my family to hate her. And after Coachella, we go to Coachella. We're just both on different, we try our best to get along. I try my best to forget it. We obviously got late. We got to Coachella late on that Friday. We didn't get to play Carpoachella. It's fine. We go home. She was like, oh, I'm supposed to be off, but I'm going to go to work. I said, okay. So she goes to work. I said, hey, our son has another doctor's appointment today. You're going to go to work? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you're supposed to be off. She's like, I know, but I'm going to go. Okay, fine. So she goes to work. I'm taking my son to the doctor's appointment when she calls me, FaceTimes me, that she's at a bar drinking with her friend. I was like, I thought you were going to go to work. And I keep this face like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I'm taking your son to the doctor's and you're all drinking again. I was like, all right. She's like, I just finished a pitcher of beer and a shot. And I said, oh, that's, yay, congrats. Well, I'm taking your son to the doctor. I got to go. And I just hang up. It was her and her friend. And then she calls me back. You're so rude. Can't believe you hung up on my friend. And, you know, I'm tired of you, your attitude, and I'm done with you. I'm done. And previously, before we did our certificate, our, you know, domestic partnership, and before we got that the baby, I was like, look, she had a habit of breaking up with me. And then 3 days go by and calling me back. I told her, if you ever tell me that again, it'll be the last time you say those words to me. If you ever tell me you are done with me and you are breaking up with me, it is the last time you will ever say that to me. I promise you that. And she said it. And I said, do you understand what you're saying right now? That day, I told her, I went to the doctor's, got my baby stuff, and I said, I'm leaving to Coachella today, and I'm leaving to my mom's, and I will see you around. We're done. Like, we're breaking up. We're breaking up. This was right after Coachella. And in my mind, that's the day that I was checked out. I really do think that's the day I checked out. I knew that there was, she comes back and she's like, you're not taking my son. I'm like, okay, you're going to stop me? When you're at work? When are you going to stop me? So she comes back. She says, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. That's what I heard. And my heart hurt. That's what my heart felt. And that's what my head heard. And I told you that that was going to be the last time you ever do this to me. She's like, let's go to therapy. Let's go to therapy. If I go to therapy, I think you should go to therapy. She says, let's go to couples therapy. I was like, okay, let's go to therapy. Let's try to work this out. That was in the end of April. May, she had her birthday. I had gotten her tickets for her to go see, or she wanted to see Nicki Minaj in a different state. And so I was like, yeah, let's go see Nicki Minaj. I bought the plane tickets. We were trying to make it work. We went to therapy once. The first time it was the intake, so it was pretty much paperwork. The second time was our first session, and it ran long. So we went 2 sessions, and then she was like, oh, I don't want to go to therapy anymore. I'm like, what? She's like, it's inconvenient. It's late, and it's in the afternoon, and it's so long, and I only get 1 day off. Like, but you were the one that suggested the therapy. And I said, I would only stay if we go to therapy. So what do you mean you don't want to go to therapy anymore? She just, we went 2 days. From there, we went the third week. The third week, we couldn't go because we left to see Nicki Minaj in a different state. So we told them, like, hey, we won't be able to make it. The following week, so now it's a month goes by. And when we were in the other, I think Houston, Texas, I don't know where we were. When we were over there, we had a big old fight because I told her, like, we're going to break up. And she's just like, oh, you're going to give me 50-50 custody. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm never going to give you 50-50 custody. I don't trust you with my son. You don't even know how to shower him. Who's going to take care of him while you're at work? What's the point of me giving you my son if someone else is going to raise him? That's the point of me not going to work. You literally told me, don't go back to work because we don't want anyone else to raise our son. So why would I leave you, my son, and give you 50-50 custody so someone else can raise him? That just doesn't make any sense. The whole time we were going back and forth, we fought about it. And then the whole night, she didn't cry about anything. Not until she said, oh, I can't even hang out with my friends anymore because they want to do something for my birthday, but I'm gonna laugh now because it's so funny. And that's when she started crying. She started crying because she wanted to hang out with her friends for her birthday, and I wasn't gonna let her. I was like, girl, do whatever you want for your birthday. We're breaking up. Like, we don't go to therapy. We don't make this work. Do whatever you want. This is what we were in Houston, Texas. I remember she cried because she wanted to hang out with her friends for her birthday. Now her friends are even, she's like, I'm afraid to even say what I want to do with my friends because of the way I get. I don't care if you hang out with your friends. Just don't get trashed and don't be hungover the next day when I need your help because we have a brand new baby. I thought it was hilarious. I remember laughing in Houston, Texas. And I'm like, really? This is why you're crying? And she's like, you're heartless. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm heartless. Like, sure, you know, whatever. That night, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. You know, it was our first night there. There's no point in me staying here if you obviously don't have any fun with me. Let me just go home. So I tried to call and change my flight. The next day, she's like, hey, like, can we please get through Nicki Minaj? I really want to see her. I said, look, I don't want to fight with you. I'm just tired. I'm tired of fighting. We've been fighting nonstop since we had the baby. I thought it was going to stop when you had the baby. I'm not going to beg you to stay here with me and your son if you don't want to. Go. Do your thing. You're no longer my priority. My son is. And I'm sorry if that hurt you. And I'm sorry if that offended you. But you wanted to bring a child into this world. What did you think was going to happen? When all that happened, with all that being said, we come back. I did feel bad that she wanted to have a party with her friends. So what do? I planned last minute because I wasn't going to do shit for her birthday. Last minute, I planned a birthday party for her and at the house, and we, you know, her friends come over. She's happy. In my mind, we're still going to therapy. We need help. No, it's not okay. But we're going to figure it out. We have a baby. So we start doing that. When we came back from Houston, we never go back to therapy. She just doesn't want to. It's an inconvenience. She wants a different time, whatever. Just excuses to not go. So that's April, May, June, July. 4th of July weekend, I plan a weekend in the desert with my family. We always plan either like go to the pool, stay at a hotel, just have fun. I'm still like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. I plan a weekend. The whole weekend, she complained about everything. The hotel, the heat. She wasn't happy. The pool sucked. Nothing I could do was good enough that whole 4th of July weekend. We come back home. She has to go to work. It's 4th of July weekend, and she's at work. I'm home with the baby. She comes home late, and she walks in with Jack in the Box in her hand. And it's funny because I had just created my first digital product. It was How to Attract Your Ideal Person. And I hadn't done my list in a long time. Like, my list of how I manifested my ex-wife, was I sat down and I wrote the list of everything I wanted in a partner, everything I didn't want in a partner, and who I had to become to be able to attract that person, which is such a great exercise to do to manifest your ideal partner. Yeah, so I do that. And I think, oh my God, I haven't done this since I met my ex. Let me redo my list because I am obviously not happy and I want more. Let me redo my list. And I start writing everything I want in a partner. I want to be their number one priority and a partner. I want my son to be their number one priority and to my partner. I want family to come first to my partner. I want them to show up authentically, lovingly, kind, helping, wanting to be in this relationship, wanting to be in this marriage. I want them to choose me over anything and my son. I want them to value our little family more than anything in the world. I don't want to be anyone's second choice. I don't want my son to be anyone's second choice. And I do my list. I do what I do not want. I don't want an alcoholic. I don't want to repeat the cycle of my parents. I don't want to fight. I don't want to have to worry if I'm going to have a place to live or not. I don't want to have to worry and not feel safe in my own home. I don't want to. And then the part is, who do you have to be to attract that person? And, you know, I want to show up differently. I want to show up better. I want to be the best wife ever I could possibly be. I finished my book. I finished my list. Julian's already asleep. And she comes home with Jack in the Box in her hands. And I'm like, are you drunk? Are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, are you drunk? No. I'm like, okay. Then she gets there and she takes a shot with my sister. As soon as she walks in, she takes a shot. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But my sister was there and she was going out with her friend, so they had taken a shot. They're like, shots. And they take one, all three of them, and then they go. And my sister leaves. And then I remember, like, you smell like alcohol. She's like, I just took a shot. I'm like, no, you don't smell like you took a shot. You smell like alcohol, like you've been drinking. She's like, I'm not. And I was like, okay. And then she drops the taco on my laptop on top of me. And I just stare at her like, I know you and you're drunk. And she's just like, no, I'm not. And then she's being really loud. I'm like, hey, can you please lower the voice? Like, Julian's asleep. Oh, I can't even be loud in my own home. And it's like, you can be loud in your own home, but if you wake up the baby, you're not going to put him back to sleep. You need to shush, like lower your voice. There's no need to scream. And she starts getting riled up and angry about something. And I'm like, I finally was like, look at me. You're drunk. And you're fucking lying to my face. I'm like, where did you go? She's like, nowhere. Where did you go? Nowhere. And I was like, okay, all right. I remember that night, she went to the rent room and I was like, shut up, the baby. Julian's up with us in our room. So she goes into the room and she starts to get ready. Like, let's just get ready for bed. Like, I'm not dealing with this. And then she starts changing and I'm like, by the way, you're drunk and now you're lying to my face. And I can forgive you being drunk. I don't care that you get drunk. That's not an issue. The issue is that you lied to my face. And then she lays down and she's like, no, I'm not drunk. You were crazy. What do you want? I don't know. Starts going off about my sister and her relationship and how she want, like, do you want me to be like, do you want me to be like, and she just starts saying like the dumbest, randomest things that I'm just like, you sound so stupid right now. Just go to bed and shut up because you're gonna wake up the baby. And I remember like finally just go to bed, shut up, say nothing. And I think I even went to the other bedroom. Yeah, I think I got the baby and went to the bedroom. I was like, dude, either shut the fuck up or I'm gonna go to the other bedroom because you're gonna wake up the baby. It's probably like 10 o'clock at night, like, you know. And so I am super, I'm not even mad. I'm not even like angry at her or nothing. I'm just like, I just didn't expect you to lie, right? So the next day, she comes up to me and says, I'm sorry. I don't know why I lied. I thought that, you know, she said, I just didn't want to fight, but obviously that wasn't the case. And like, we still fought, but I'm sorry I lied. And she says, I really didn't go anywhere. We just stayed outside drinking outside of work. Okay. And then she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? No. Whatever you tell me, I don't believe you anymore. You've never lied to me before, not that I'm aware of. I never caught you in a lie so bluntly in my face that it's just kind of like, okay. I didn't say anything. I remember laying there in the bed with my son and I looked at her and I was like, what are you doing? What do you want? Because I'm not happy. This is not okay? And then she's like, well, I just feel like you don't appreciate me. She said, I feel like you don't appreciate everything I do for you. And I said, what is that? You work? You pay the bills? You're probably right. I don't appreciate that you do that, because guess what? You did that before we had a son. You did that before we had a baby. You still wanted to have one. The person that I was as well. I still cook. I still clean. And I have a baby. I still have you. I still do everything. So yes, you're right. I don't appreciate anything that you've been doing, because you did this before we had a baby. And then we had a baby, and then you still think that you just can go your merry way with that. She would make this joke, which is stupid. She would be like, Dad, life is great. She would tell people. And they would ask, you know, how's the baby? And she would say, Dad, life is great. Well, no shit. All you did was go to work and that's it. Pay the house, which is what you did before. So yeah, life was great. Never having to wake up in the middle of the night, never having to shower the baby, never having to do any of that. So I finally just told her, like, hey, what do you want? What are we doing? We didn't go back to therapy. You haven't made an effort. She's like, I don't feel valued. I don't think you appreciate everything. Appreciate it. There you go. I don't feel appreciated. I don't think you appreciate everything I do. And I said, okay. Well, what do you want to do? She's like, well, I think we should break up. In my mind, I was already like, okay. 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 Then I cried. But I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised. I was more like, finally. Finally, you let me go. Finally, you like admit it. And that was a Tuesday. She was gonna go to work. She went to work. I got my shit together that Tuesday. The next day, on Wednesday, I was like, she was off. I said, here's your baby. You're gonna have to learn how to take care of him on your own. When you visit him or when you have him, I got things to do. And it was the first time I left my son with her by myself. Like for like a whole day, I was so scared. I got in my car, I drove to the desert. I started looking at apartments. I called my sister. I said, I need a roommate. I need your income. I have my savings. I'm moving out. She's like, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm getting an apartment today and I'm moving out. That was Wednesday. I saw a couple apartments. I just wanted something small, something I knew I could handle, manage, like not too crazy in rent. I gave my sister all the paperwork. We filled it out, paid. And then by Friday, my sister got the keys. I went back home, packed, and moved out Friday. And she even said, like, oh, don't worry, take your time. Whenever you can leave, I'm leaving ASAP. And yeah, I left. And so this one's really long, so we're going to do a part 2 instead.